Every time they bring somebody in from NXT, they job the person out. Well, Bobby Lashley deserves that. I mean, Bobby Lashley just sucks. He can go on off the show for all I care.
Oh, okay. Well, at least, hey, don't hold back. That's how you really feel.
You guys are making a really good point about NXT. Let's go over some of the names. You've got Prince Pretty, Tyler Breeze. I thought they had a good thing going with the Fashion Police. Then they just disappeared for a while. They came back, tried to push the Fashion Police again, then Fandango gets hurt. So Tyler Breeze is a jobber. The Ascension. They bring them up from NXT. Yeah, not doing anything with them. The Revival. They had just a little bit of a push against the B team. And now they're losing to the Lucha Dragons, or what they call themselves. I read an article, I think it was on Wrestle Talk News, I believe, and it was with Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano has had a wonderful feud with Tommaso Ciampa, and Ciampa is the... Gargano said he doesn't want to go to the main roster, that he's happy where he is. When people get to the main roster, they get buried. Instead of, saying, I don't want to be the one that is putting over everybody else unless you're paying me really good money. I want to have my moments in the sun also. And I think that that is a real mistake that the WWE is really struggling with right now.
What have they done with Shinsuke? What have they done with – what did they do with Finn Balor? Not a thing. They were superstars when they were in NXT.
Yeah.
And they're just biding their time right now.
Shinsuke Nakamura, go back to New Japan, make more dollars or more sushi rolls over there, you'll be just fine. Finn Balor, go back to where you came from, to where the indies were, you'd probably make more money. Cody Rhodes, but Cody Rhodes, you know what? That's the only man that I've ever seen right now, and I'm breaking off subject. That's the only man that has gone out from the WWE to the indie circuit and has made his name just as big as his daddy was. Hey, there's only one person that could probably save him, though. It's probably Vince Russo will have to come back. No, I'm just joking.
No. Oh, God.
No.
I mean, I'd like to see Aleister, what's his name, Aleister Black from NXT. I'd like to see him up and see what he's come up and see what he can do.
All we can say right now is Crown Jewel turned into the biggest crown. It's like a Burger King crown right now, so that's basically all I can say. It's a Burger King crown. That's what you got.
And frankly, there's a lot of anger. You guys see it, and I see it. I read it.
I think it's a sad state of affairs when they have a match between four, let's just call them old guys, turn out to be the best match of the entire show featuring the new guys.
And the only thing that saved the pay-per-view, I will agree with Kelly on this one, is the final. It was the match between Undertaker, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and the Mayor Kane. I think that they need to sit down and really think about the pay-per-view that they just put on.
One thing that has stayed with me over and above almost everything else that happened at this pay-per-view is that Triple H and Shawn Michaels, both used to have flowing blonde hair. Now they look like a couple of Standing Together Academy Awards. I'm like, what the hell happened there?
Oh, what a week.
There's an old saying in showbiz, there's no such thing as bad publicity, but I don't know about this one. This one was really bad, and I don't know how they're going to come back from this.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. They lost the person that they were pushing so hard, and now they've got to reinvent everything.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, @TurnbuckleTrash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Again, that's WPFpod@gmail.com.
NXT TakeOver in Los Angeles, War Games. This is the second year they've done War Games. This is and it was a fun evening. And then, oh boy, what a grudge match this was. Aleister Black taking on Johnny Gargano, and it was a great match between the two. These are two very good professional wrestlers that know how to tell a story. It came out that Aleister Black did finally win the match. The big championship match with Tommaso Ciampa defeating the Velveteen Dream by a pinfall to retain the NXT championship. And let me just put down what my notes said. Wow. 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 Velveteen Dream comes out with an homage to Hollywood Hulk Hogan. There was even a moment where the announcing staff got into it a little bit, and they said this.
NXT champion with the cover. Oh, holy bleep. Dream just kicked out again.
Yes, they said, holy bleep.
Holy bleep.
If you're a longtime professional wrestling fan, you know the name Brian Pillman. Brian was such a great performer, and of course he had his demons, and that led to his demise. But his son, Brian Pillman Jr., is now starting to break into the wrestling industry. He is teaming up with Teddy Hart and Davey Boyd Smith. Now, Teddy Hart, Hart of the Hart Foundation, Davey Boyd Smith, Hart Foundation, all three have joined together and call themselves the New Age Hart Foundation. So be looking for them on a promotion called Major League Wrestling. The internet went crazy when it was brought out that Stone Cold Steve Austin was giving up beer.
Holy bleep!
Yes, no more Steve Weisers. However, a little bit more information is coming out. Stone Cold said in a podcast that he will not swear off alcohol forever. And he said, why in the holy bleep? He says he enjoys alcohol and he does it responsibly as an adult. Cody Rhodes, has been injured and he's running around the ring like he's going to be throwing out T-shirts. And Cody said he heard something pop in his knee. He went to a doctor. Evidently, he's going to have some knee surgery after the. And this is the way it was written, I think, on WrestleZone.com. Watch your back, Mickey Mouse. Because Stephanie McMahon wants to tear your ears off and says her goal for the WWE is to become bigger than Disney.
Holy bleep!
And she said it with a straight face. And now, on this very day, which is Thanksgiving Turkey Day, I invite you to join me in inviting into your home the biggest turkey I know, Mr. Zane Peterson. How you doing,
oh,
Turkey Zane?
Cheers. Thanks, Dave.
But
burn, man. Just burn and move on. Just like burn like the turkey, man.
What made me think about that is I was watching SmackDown Live in one segment with the New Day as they're getting ready for the Thanksgiving feast fight.
Well, well, well. Look at this bountiful spread we got here. It can only mean one thing. We are rapidly approaching one of our favorite holidays.
Turkey Day! Turkey Day! Turkey Day!
Come on, Corey. Turkey Day!
Yeah, we're talking heels today on Turnbuckle Trash.
Heels. Heels. Right on the heels of Christmas, aren't we?
Right on the
With
heels.
Thanksgiving's almost over.
Oh, that's great stuff. which one do you want to start with first, my man?
Well, I think we did we were texting and we were, you know, I said we should do a little segment on heels of professional wrestling. The perfect example of a heel to me is Ric Flair. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody that's just slimy, that just cheats to win. You know, whether it's the brass knuckles in the tights or the handful of powder or something in their face, or, you know, just somebody that or the manager, or, you know, of the heel that cheats to win, you know, anybody that can get right under the crowd's skin.
You know, it's the kind of guy that he gets the guy in the headlock, right? The headlock, and he's just cranking up, and the good guy, the face, he is actually powering out, and he's about three quarters of the way of powering out. And then the heel will reach out and either thumb him in the eye or grab a whole bunch of hair and pull him back down. And you don't see that much anymore of that type of move.
Yeah, you really don't. You know, and the heel is almost a thing of the past, and now they've gone to the anti-hero. What happened to the slimy sleazeball heel? It's just, in my eyes, Brock Lesnar is not a heel.
You know? He's just not. A jerk. I mean, he's just somebody we don't like.
Yeah, and he doesn't fit in the heel category. He just is.
I don't know if you ever saw Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert. was so bad of a heel in Memphis. You know, he would do anything to win. And he even, in a spot they did at a TV station parking lot, took his car and ran over Jerry Lawler. People in Memphis were calling the police station to go investigate this hit and run that was taking place at the station. It was amazing.
Back in the Memphis days, that there was times when those heels were so slimy that they were – sometimes people out in public would, like, threaten them and pull knives on them. And
there was a wrestler that was a heel that actually got stabbed, not really bad, but after a heel spot in the ring where he won, as he's going back through the crowd, somebody had a knife and stabbed him. When you get that kind of heat, or you can cause some near riots or riot situations, that is what a real heel is all about.
Absolutely, absolutely. So do you have some favorite heels of all time in the life and times of Dave Denton?
Well, I go back to who we first started as the best heel in the business, the dirtiest player in the game, Nature Boy Ric Flair. He would do anything to win.
Yeah.
And then anything outside of the ring he wanted to do.
You know, it's somebody that comes to my mind when that I don't think gets near enough credit in the industry as a whole and as a sleaze bag is the $1 Million Man. Everybody has a price.
Yeah.
You know, Ted DiBiase, ring psychology, you want to talk about great promos and great ring psychology. That
there's a great video out there of Ted where he offers a young child in the audience money to do something, and then the kid does it, and he takes the money away from him, and the crowd went bananas. And remember, Ted DiBiase stepped on my hand. Remember that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. You were doing some ringside announcing at a local event.
In Cottonport, Louisiana, it was.
Wow.
And there was a table, and I was right next to the ring. I mean, the table and the ring touched together. Ted fell out of the ring, knocked out of the ring, and when he got up, he stepped on my hand, and man, I thought I'd broken my fingers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's take it back to some early days, you know, like some of those guys like Terry Funk and them too. I mean, he was known as a kind of a sleaze ball in his day, wasn't he?
Yeah, Terry Funk, he was one of those heels that would come in as the bad guy, as the heel, and he would beat up the top star in that area. There is a very famous match that was actually kind of recreated on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood recently, the Empty Stadium match with Terry Funk and Jerry Lawler. Funk was out there in the ring saying Lawler wouldn't meet him without the crowd being there to be behind him. And then Lawler comes out, and he's all dressed up like the king. He's got his crown on and all that. And they fight all over that arena in the Mid-South Coliseum with nobody there. Lawler, he poked Funk in the eye, or Funk somehow got poked in the eye, and Funk actually gave up because he was injured because Jerry Lawler, that scumbag, took his eye out. It was priceless. And another you want to go back to is Dick the Bruiser. Dick the Bruiser was mainly in the Midwest. I remember him from visiting my uncle in St. Louis, and I actually saw Dick the Bruiser in one of my first wrestling matches I ever went to. He was one of those big burly guys that would come to the ring and he would do anything to hurt the face. He was one of those that caused riots when he took on people like Jack Briscoe or Lou Thesz or some of the faces of the day.
Let's fast forward a little bit.
Okay.
Jake the Snake, you know, true ring psychology right there. You know, he was good. Just, I don't know if he would be considered a heel as much as just kind of a bad guy, you know, just kind of a. And then the Honky Tonk Man, of course, he was a. Everybody just hated him, didn't they?
Oh, they did. They did.
They just hated
him.
And, you know, so you fast forward a little bit more. WCW 1998-ish, I would imagine. Probably one of the best heel turns of all time. Why don't you take it from there?
I think you're talking about when the Outsiders showed up at the WCW, and they kept on talking about one more member. And if I'm not mistaken, it was a bash at the beach where they revealed who that other member was in a match where Hulk Hogan turned on Randy Savage when in a tag match. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that, you know, that is still one of the greatest. You know, when Hogan comes out there and he points at Kevin Nash and he's like, you know, no, you guys, the crowd's going nuts because he's going to – it was Randy Savage and Sting were tag teaming, turns and gives the old atomic leg drop to Randy Savage and then stands in the middle of the ring and, I mean, that ring was so full of garbage at the end of the night.
And I think it was so Mean Gene Okerlund when he was interviewing him and asking him why. He had to dodge a full bottle of water that was thrown, and it almost hit him. That was the best heel turn ever. It really was.
It really was, you know. And then let's talk about the most abused heel turn of all time.
Okay.
Somebody that turns heel and turns face about as often as Dave changes underwear. The Big Show.
Oh, he does, doesn't he?
You never know. You never know if he's a good guy or a bad guy from week to week.
The New Day made that very comment on one of the SmackDown Live TV shows that you just didn't know which way he was going to be. Is the late Eddie Guerrero.
Oh, yeah. I guess we could flash. Let's rewind. Go back to WCW.
And he was doing the lie, cheat, steal, anything. I thought that was, you know, that was being a good heel. But all of a sudden, the people started getting into it. Mm-hmm. And he was actually a heel who became one of those anti-heroes we were talking about.
You know, and another one during that time, too, who was an excellent heel was The Rock.
Yes.
And then, like you said, people started getting into him. Let's fast forward, you know, you can insert something there about fast forward. Insert a little fast forward sound effects there. We all know who the best heel is right now in dare I say, all of
The Miz.
Absolutely. Agreed 100%. See, Dave, without AJ on the podcast, we kind of should agree on something. Dividing us.
I'm going to tell.
See, was that a heel move right there?
That was a heel move right there. You're the best heel on this podcast, Zane.
Man, I love that when Maurice, the last couple of years, when Maurice has been out there with him and helping him win.
I think when you have that persona of someone like The Miz, how does he win? The ring psychology is there to make him such a great heel. I agree. The Miz is completely underappreciated for his wrestling ability. I've seen him have great, great matches.
Yeah. You know, that match at WrestleMania, him and John Cena for the WWE Championship, dude, that was a good match. And that was a good lead up too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they worked that for a good solid year. He's good, dude. I don't care who you are.
His work in the past 3 years has been as good or better than 98% of those out there. The Miz. And speaking of Daniel Bryan, you know, he's got a heel turn that recently happened.
I think that kind of leads me into our next segment, Dave. Wow, you...
I think that's why I get paid the not-so-big bucks.
Well, you know, Dave, you are the best in the world at what you do.
Yes, I am.
You're like practically famous in Cash Valley.
Almost
famous. Almost. Moving on.
No, you're moving on.
Pull her back on track here, Dave. Pull her back on track.
Uh-huh. Come on. Special. On to another segment now. Insert break here.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Wait for the signal. Wait for it.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Because I was actually looking forward to seeing how they were going to book that match with AJ and Brock. But I also was kind of shocked when they did the same thing again with the Daniel Bryan heel turn, when he took the opportunity to bring out his inner Shinsuke Nakamura and kicked AJ right in the Wachobies.
I kicked him as hard as I could in his testicles.
Right in the junk, huh?
Yeah, he did.
And, dude, Daniel, when he did the no movement, and they had – that was awesome. You know, he comes out, I'm a vegan, and I – you know, you guys that eat meat, I hate you. And I wonder if they like – if some people like that. I know, like, Hogan, when he came to the WWE and stuff, he told them – he's like, I'll come back for a while, but he's like, I don't want to be a heel again.
Yeah, they get to – do things that it's not really in their personality,
mm-hmm.
but they get to act out something that maybe that's inside deep they would like to do, but they have some ethics and they wouldn't do it outside of the ring. So there is almost no build up to some of these smaller events. Survivor Series, which I've always enjoyed, actually only had 2 weeks of build up. And they always do this thing where one brand will invade the other brand and beat up on them for a while to kind of get that heat going. And this time they almost hurt themselves because of it. You know what happened to Becky Lynch?
Did you go back and watch the replay?
Yeah, several times.
There's some fan videos out there, too, that show. And I think you were right that it was more of a forearm.
Uh-huh.
But... dude, she legit knocked her the F out. I mean,
she did.
I mean, wonder a little bit if there's something going on or if she didn't mean to or...
And several wrestlers have expressed that when you have several people in the ring, maybe it's a battle royal or you've got a situation like happened on Raw, that's one of the most dangerous times because you don't know where things are coming from. You've mm-hmm. got to trust your instincts and trust your fellow competitors. If you watch that video with Nia Jax, Becky comes up to her from behind, and I just didn't think she knew exactly where she was when she threw that punch that hit Becky. Speaking of heel heat, on the Survivor Series broadcast itself, they've taken that situation and made something out of it because now Nia Jax is being known as hashtag facebreaker.
Hmm. Dude, Becky Lynch sold that like a freaking champ, didn't she?
Oh, she was awesome.
I mean, she no medical attention, bleeding all over the place. She just stands there like, yeah, what the F are you going to do about it, you know? I'm the man.
She continues on in the match. And
that's why she's the man.
She's the man.
Yeah. The one match I have watched of Survivor Series, I caught it right in the middle when I had a little break between things. And he drives me crazy. Shinsuke Nakamura match.
That was with Seth Rollins, right?
Yeah. I don't get him. And the announcers on that one made it worse for me because they were just, you know, oh, Shinsuke using that in-ring psychology. Oh, see, this is really where the psychology for Shinsuke comes in. Oh, this is really where the mind games come in, you know. Oh, look at Shinsuke playing those mind games with Seth Rollins again. You know, he really gets into your mind. And I'm just like, shut up with the mind games. It just will have been Seth Rollins' knee they were talking about. Beat that sucker to death, you know. Rollins was trying to get things moving, and he'd hit the ropes, and he would, and Shinsuke would roll out of the ring. Can you not hit the ropes? Can you not bounce the ropes a little bit? Can you not? I don't know. Tell me what you think.
I kind of enjoyed the match a little bit. They once again, here's one of those call ups from NXT that they've wasted.
Yeah.
They tried to make him a face, and people were reacting to his face, face turn. More so for that entrance where people could sing along with it than anything else. You can still see he gets a big reaction for that entrance music. And right after his heel turn, and he finally loses to AJ Styles, when he wins the U.S. title, it was like he was gone. It was mm-hmm. almost nothing heard from him. And I think people kind of forgot he was there for a while. I like his heel tactics better than I did him as a face. I couldn't stand him as a face, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. But when he started doing the undercuts and the kicks, the Nakamura turn where he'd kick him right in the Gabonza beans. But once again, there's one of those NXT call-ups that I don't think the writing staff knew what to do with.
too much talent for one roster, man.
It's just a frustrating situation. I think you're right that they just don't know what to do with them. And it's basically because they have the big stars, the ones that people still want to see, and they're trying to build these other guys up, and there's just no room.
Let's talk for a minute about... Yeah, exactly.
Need another
so,
camel.
So, I guess the modern-day Maharaji and the Singh brothers, I mean, when he dumped Sunil Singh right on his neck, I mean, and luckily, he's so dang lucky. Twice he did it to him. Dumped him right on his neck. And I don't know how he didn't break his fetching neck. I don't know. Did you hear any of that heat or that frustration?
No, I haven't heard much about that. I know a lot of the backstage people get upset with him, not only because that he does dangerous moves and sometimes doesn't follow through them properly. But that his attitude backstage is not good either. So I'm tired of the stick. I mean, to be honest with you, even though I still love Paul Heyman on the microphone, the best in the business ever on the microphone, I'm tired of that whole entire stick right now. I could care less about Brock Lesnar. I mean, get him out of there, fine. I don't care.
And I think most of the fans are tired of him too. You know, I think he gets a pop just because, you know, he's still people know him and people get kind of excited to see him in his hometown. And I mean, like, you know, I'll admit I was shocked when he showed up to that Salt Lake City live event that you and I went to.
Yeah.
I mean, and I was pretty excited to see him just because we were like, you know, that's a pretty big name and we'd both never seen him live before. And why did I even cheer for that asshole, you know? Yeah.
Well, if it's a reaction to Brock or if it's more of a reaction to Paul. Well, I wanted to do so a big shout-out to Lucha Underground. Their Ultima Lucha 4 was incredibly good. And our friend of the program, Marty Casals, Marty the Moth, was part of the main event with a title match against Pentagon Dark. But it was still fun to watch as they were going about it. But Vampiro and Matt Stryker, I think, are the best team in the business.
Yeah. I just don't know. As far as the sanitary, Bobby's blood is splattered everywhere. Him, what does that tell you? Is he sick? Is he mentally disturbed? Does he have a disorder? Is he crazy? All of that and more. This is just beginning.
And now comes word that they're not sure whether Lucha Underground Season 5 will even be done.
Ooh.
But I hope it is. I love the concept of this being a TV show. This is a TV program that has wrestling in it, which is so different than what everybody else does. I really hope they can get that worked out.
I hope so, too. Yeah. No, it's good for business.
Good for business.
There's a lot of people who are upset that Wade Barrett showed up. You know, they're like, why Wade Barrett? Wade Barrett sucks and this and that. But I kind of like to see when they get these guys, you know, like in there that are worked for different promotions and stuff and see what they do with them. I mean, they did a great job with Rey Mysterio and stuff. It's just all in all a good show. But, you know, I'll tell you, Dave, who's knocking it out of the park right now is NXT.
NXT. Woo, baby. I'd rather watch NXT than Raw, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
You know, when we were talking about heels, what a great heel Tommaso Ciampa is.
Dude, Aleister Black, you know, Tommaso Ciampa, Adam Cole. I mean, dude, there's some awesome people there right now.
EC3?
Really, yeah, dude.
Man, you're talking some talent. I mean, you can't say that they're not main roster talent, but what are they going to do with them?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the female competitors for a minute. You know, Shayna Baszler. Uh-huh. I mean, dude, she needs to go. She needs to come to Raw and just beat the piss out of Ronda, just for fun, you know, just for fun. But you said that Ronda and Flair match ended up being pretty good.
It was a good match. I mean, honestly the best match I've seen Ronda Rousey in. Charlotte Flair beat the ever-living blop, 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 put in all kinds of four-letter words here, out of Ronda Rousey with a kendo stick.
Good.
I mean, it was brutal. I'm just going to kind of leave it at that. You need to watch that one.
You know, and I honestly wouldn't have a problem with even, you know, crossing the line a little bit, going to NXT, you know, seeing a superstar down there to play a story for a little while. And then, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing some more stuff like that, but they never will.
In December, there was TLC, but there's also a lot of controversy about Monday Night Raw. It was so bad. And what we would do to fix Raw. That's all in December on Turnbuckle Trash.
More trash is on the way on TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Oh, he's got him in a subatomic headlock. Ow, that's gotta hurt.
Actually, I can tell you from experience, it does hurt.
You were a wrestler?
No, just married.
It's time to take out the trash.
We've been wondering what in the world is going on with WWE Monday Night Raw. The Raw on the... Was it the 3rd of December?
It was the week before that. The last Monday
the 26th?
Yeah.
26th?
Yeah.
Was like the worst Raw in the history.
Ever.
It was just absolutely terrible.
It was just so bad. So here's my idea, and I hope you'll go along with me here. We're going to say what we would do to fix Raw.
What we would do to fix Raw? Make it into SmackDown.
Oh, SmackDown this past week was so good. Should we play this right now? SmackDown. Daniel Bryan, now the WWE champion. He is a heel. He appeared on Miz TV, and it was great. That segment, Miz TV... And then when AJ and The Miz had a match later in the night, I kind of put them together and I kind of got weird with it. And it's kind of funny, isn't it, Zane?
It was great. Are you kidding
me? I'm sorry. Did you think I brought you out here to talk about Alexander Hamilton, methane gas, and water bottles?
What are you going to do? You going to kick me in the nuts?
Am I going to do it? Yes. When am I going to do it? Don't know. Could be tomorrow. Now! Check it out. Come on, check it
out. You have been kicked in the testicles. No, you don't need kicks
to help you face the world each day.
What is my daughter going to think? Do you know what I hope my daughter thinks? I hope my daughter kicks as many. She kicks 10 men in the groin, hundreds of men in the groin, thousands of men in the groin, thousands of stupid men. I hope she kicks you in the groin, Byron.
That's my purse! I don't know you!
You're saying the old Daniel Bryan never kicked anybody in the groin? I dare to disagree with you, Byron. You obviously don't know your Daniel Bryan history. Kick it
out. Come on, kick it out. WWE Champion, the new Daniel Bryan.
He just got him in the ding-ding.
I kicked AJ Styles in the groin.
You have been kicked in the testicles.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Oh, man. Dude.
It was funny, so wasn't it?
Eco Warrior Daniel.
Oh, man. I loved it.
He's going back to his vegan days, huh?
Oh, I remember they used to call him the world's toughest vegan.
But we got to go back to Raw, unfortunately, yeah. Huh? Let's just talk a few things right now.
Okay.
First things first, that the Raw tag team champions with Maverick, Akam and
Rezar.
Rezar.
Yeah.
Let's get Dave's opinion.
I like Rezar and Akam as the authors of pain. Drake Maverick. I lost it when he supposedly did that little urinating in his pants at the last pay-per-view. That was as stupid as the Nicholas at the WrestleMania. It wasn't visual enough. Couldn't see it.
And then the next week he pisses on the glorious one's robe. I mean, that was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Stupid. I mean,
if you're trying to go back to Attitude Era stuff, that wasn't even close.
No, it wasn't close. Just bad.
Well, congratulations, Dave. You've just been signed to WWE as the head of creative, and you just decided that you just have been assigned to rewrite Raw. What are you going to do next?
I'm glad you asked. I thought this went out really good. I would take Bobby Lashley and pair him with the Authors of Pain with Lilo Rush, you know, Lashley, as the mouthpiece.
People with depression tend to live in the past. And so, you know, sometimes I get a little down. So I'm a little down right now. So I'm going to go with the past and say, B-team, B-team, B-team.
I love the B-team.
Okay, how do I want to say this? You know, you're getting extremely creative. You're pairing up different people and you're writing different people. In my mind, I would say, why not just give people a chance that have been so close before, like Breezango? I mean, tell me how great that would have been to have Breezango go up against the B-team for the tag team titles and just have a little comedy bit. It would have been funny, right?
Right.
It would have been entertaining. I kind of took the opportunity of thinking more of how I would have rewritten history instead of...
Okay. Let's take the constipated Baron Corbin. I mean, the constable Baron Corbin. What would you do with the constipated Baron Corbin?
Left him in NXT.
Oh.
They brought him up from NXT and they tried to make him into like this unstoppable, like, oh, what's Baron Corbin doing here? Oh, he's from NXT, you know, and, oh my gosh. And, you know, in the politically correct world we live in, Dave, how do you, this is just in my opinion, you know, I'm not downgrading Baron Corbin's talent or his time to the company, whatever they've got him doing and whatever they've had him doing in the past. It hasn't worked for me. That's all I'm saying.
I just don't like this role that he has right now. It's not. It hasn't been a good role for him the whole time. It's just. Mm-hmm. It's just been bad. Honestly, bad. And it's not nothing that he could have done better. I mean, he's just following what he's told to do. Put him in a position of failure instead of a position to succeed.
With a flooded roster like Raw, what do you do?
You couldn't ask a better question. I don't know sometimes. The multitude of riches that they have is not good. It's not good for them. Because you get people like us that complain that our favorites don't get the what we think they should get.
The question I have is, why does there even have to be a Raw general manager? Why does there have to be? Heaven forbid we rewind, you know, 15 years and we set up a show. They want to do their 3.5 hour speech at the beginning of Raw, you know, the build up or whatever you call it. The general manager comes out every episode of Raw and says, oh, tonight we're going to have this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And it's like, and therefore we are completely eliminating the element of surprise. Welcome to the new WWE.
Or they'll have somebody come out and talk to the general manager, and they'll say, we're going to have that match right here, right now.
Yeah.
It's the same, just sorry, fill in the blanks that we've been experienced for years. I have an idea.
Tell me your idea.
Let's take your idea and combine it with something I've been thinking about. Instead of a Raw general manager, have a Raw committee that sets the matches. You could take some of this backstage. You could have permanent members. You could have some face. You could have some heel. Maybe once a month bring in a different main roster competitor, and they would all vote on what the matches are going to be as either the night progresses or for the next week. I think you could have so much fun, shenanigans, comedy, drama, just even the committee members at each other's throats because One supports a Baron Corbin. One supports an Elias. And they could go, you know, just right at each other. And then there's that other vote there that has to be convinced to vote their way. Yeah.
It'd be a fun backstage segment.
It's time for Gotham's Reckoning. We're bored in the back. I embrace the back. You, Millie, are back in the back.
That is a good impression, man. It sounds just like Dean Ambrose.
All these people out here. You know who Dean Ambrose sounds like?
Oh.
He sounds like the on Monsters, Inc.
Oh, yes.
The lady that...
Well, when he came out on Raw, he had that gas mask on, and he had the brown leather coat. Everybody was making all these Bane references, and I kind of had some fun with Dean and Bane from Batman too. So, yeah,
okay, play that now. Play it now.
We'll play
right
it now.
Here, right now. Put it in right now.
Right now.
Now I apologize for the drastic measures I have taken tonight.
What matters is our plan.
But you can't be too safe in a dangerous slum like Houston, Texas.
No one cared who I was till I put on the mask.
Now, I need these measures not just to protect me from you people and whatever diseases you may all be carrying.
It would be extremely painful.
I need these measures to protect me from that madman, Seth Rollins.
Now's not the time for fear. That comes later.
Chris said after he heard it, he said he thought Batman and Robin were going to come down and bash him with a baseball bat.
Hey, shut up. I don't understand, you know, to have this big buildup of Dean Ambrose and the turn and the burning of the shield jacket to have him turn into all of a sudden a germaphobe. I'm like, man, that's a great gimmick, a germaphobe. That's awesome.
Yeah. I made this statement with Chris. I'm going to make it again once again. With the illness of Roman Reigns and then the different injuries that have occurred, I just wonder how much they're scrambling for storylines right now and not thinking things through. Because they have to come up with programming 3 hours every week for Monday Night Raw, 2 hours for SmackDown live, and live TV is tough. You know what happened last week, which was a better Raw? It was right after President Bush had passed away. Vincent Kennedy McMahon reportedly completely rewrote the entire program because he wanted it, because it was in Houston, Texas now, but he wanted more face to be have the good guys win more so, and he did that out of respect for the former president, who was also a wrestling fan for several years. He was friends with Paul Bosch, who owned the Houston promotion for years.
You know that I'm upset with face Elias.
Right.
I think that heel Elias was so much better. Cocky, just arrogant. That's a good character right there. And then all of a sudden he bashes Baron Corbin over the back, and now he's against Bobby Lashley, which I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't either.
But okay, if we're going to stick with current, we're going to do a mixture. So we have Elias. You know, we have Dean Ambrose's Intercontinental title. What a perfect opportunity for Elias to make his big star debut and take on Dean Ambrose as Intercontinental.
Yeah.
You know, and you could have Elias come down and sing songs about Dean Ambrose and how the Shield sucks and how he wishes that he was still part of the Shield. And then you could have Dean Ambrose talking a gas mask to Elias, and you could have Elias bash Dean over his face with a guitar.
Yep. I like it.
I like it.
Hey, while we're talking about Elias, you got two stories you got to tell. Tell what happened with Jack and Elias.
So the other day, got my guitar out, and my son Jackson, he decided that he was going to write a few Christmas songs, and he was going to entertain us here at home. He was going to sing us a song. So he got the guitar, and he says, okay, he says, I need you all to hold your applause, silence your cell phones, and shut your mouths.
And how old is Jackson?
He's 5.
Oh, I love that story. I had to tell my wife as soon as you sent that to me.
You know, taking after his dad.
Oh, and then you sang at
a
church-related party. Tell us this one.
Well, I told you before, I said, I'm going to get up there and tell everybody that. And you said, I triple dog dare you.
I did.
So I told everybody, I said, hello, everyone. I'm Zane Peterson. I'll be your entertainment for tonight. So I'm going to have to tell you all to hold your applause, silence your cell phones,
and
get ready to have a time. But I didn't tell them to shut their mouths. Oh. I should have. Especially because they were actually pretty rude. So if they ask me to do it again, I won't.
I talked about Chris Evans wanting to get your opinion on what to do with Jinder Mahal.
The modern day Maharaja?
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I say we do with him?
What's that?
The classic, what you used to do back in the nostalgic era. The all-American, American Jack Swagger. Or you even invent a new character and you have a battle of the America versus that's what they used to do.
But and they won't do it anymore.
Because it's politically incorrect and it would be racist. And Chris would appreciate this segment, wouldn't he?
Yeah, that's why he wanted to know your opinion.
What did Chris say?
He said send him back to Canada.
Oh,
he does speak Punjabi. I mean, that's where his parents are from. But he is from Canada, you know. Man, the guy is just cut. I mean, he is. Eat some bacon, man. Put some meat on your bones.
He could have some good feuds with some good people if they just, you know, ride it right. I guess.
Aren't we also just kind of missing that mid-card heat?
I agree.
Feuds. I mean, we just don't have many of them.
There's just not any of them really at all right now. I mean, there basically is not much of a mid-card. You know, like a guy like Finn Balor, you know, he's a superstar, but they don't really – I don't think they use him like they should.
I think some creativity needs to be put in there. I would love to see them do some more tournaments, you know, for opportunity to wrestle against
give them a little push, you know.
Give them a little push. They don't have to win, but let them show what they can do.
Here's my idea of that push, okay? Whatever happened in the good old days, you know, when two people used to get together just randomly and they would win a tag team championship. I mean, you know, and then there's Curt Hawkins. I mean, what do you do with him? I mean, his gimmick right now is that he's a loser. I mean, that's really fair to him. You know? It's like, hey, dude, you're a loser. Go out and lose every match and tell everybody how bad you suck, you know?
Like on SmackDown the next night, and SmackDown was so daggum fun. And then you turn back on to Raw the next week and you just go, come on. You know, just something.
So, okay, here let's talk about the baddest woman on the planet. The one that can't cut a promo. The one, Rowdy Ronda Rousey. I don't think I would have given her the title. She didn't even do anything. All of a sudden she was there, you know?
Well, you're looking at, once again, you're looking at the business aspect of it. She comes in, she's got a name, she's selling merchandise, and they're wanting to keep that hot. And that's, the business aspect of it, that's why she is the champion.
It's Shayna Baszler.
Shayna Baszler.
Yep.
That's it, Shayna Baszler.
And so Shayna Baszler's an MMA person, and then there's one other girl in NXT that is too, right?
Actually, there's two others.
Oh, there's two others.
Yeah, two others, and they all three had been in MMA with Ronda, and they called themselves the Four Horsewomen of MMA, and now they're all in professional wrestling. I think they ought to just call them up and just go for it, and have them be a, excuse my French, badass woman faction. just beating everybody to a pulp. What would you do with someone like Braun Strowman?
I think they had a missed opportunity. They should have had Braun win the title a couple months ago.
So if you had an opportunity to say, let's bring some people up from NXT.
Well, number one, you're going to laugh at this.
Uh-huh.
Don't laugh, okay? Okay, don't laugh.
I promise.
I would kick Michael Cole and his stupid announcing ass right to the curb, and I'd put Mauro Ranallo back in there.
I ain't laughing, brother. I ain't laughing. He is so good, isn't he? Mama mia! I've seen people in NXT with signs saying, Mama mia! He is really good.
What was it you texted me the other day that Mauro Ranallo said, and I laughed? Oh, my bleep, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, he says, holy bleep! It wasn't, oh, my, he went, oh, holy bleep! It was hilarious.
So the Raw roster is so flooded right now. I just don't know what you do because, you know, you bring up guys from NXT. You know, say you bring Ricochet up. Who are you going to put him against? Who's he going to fight?
Is he going to be buried?
Yeah.
I mean, look what happened to the Ascension. Well, look what's happened to the Revival. Look what's happened to Finn Balor.
Holy bleep!
You know, and I mean, Aleister Black, you know, is so freaking good. So good. You know, here's one. There's one that you were talking about, old Lars Sullivan.
Do you think they're going to bring him up or let him go?
I don't know. You know, if they let him go over, you know, why is somebody not allowed to have an opinion these days, you know? They were old social media posts from like 6 or 7 years ago. If you were to look at my social media posts from 6 or 7 years ago, most people would probably be offended. That's my opinion, I guess. I guess I shared that opinion, but I'm not as active on it as I used to be because I was just kind of like, you know, what good does it do?
Exactly,
you know, it was
right.
6 or 7 years ago, it was new and it was exciting and it was fun to post and to stir the pot. And now it's just like, you know, you don't dare say anything because somebody's going to cry or.
Well, you know, I'm going to say this right now, and I respect people's opinions, but I think we are losing the right to disagree on different aspects of our lives and just disagree, not be mean, not be prejudiced, but to disagree on how life should go. And I think that's a dangerous thing that's happening, and a lot of it is on social media. So I'm just saying, if you're listening to us right now, you don't agree with us, I respect your opinion, but please respect mine.
Let's name off a few of these. Adam Cole, Aleister Black.
Bobby Fish.
Bobby Fish, EC3, Lars Sullivan, Ricochet, Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny Gargano. They're talking great performers, not just good, great performers.
Yeah, you know, and the thing that I like, I mean, somebody like Aleister Black, it was interesting to read that. And when he says, you know, he says, I didn't grow up watching WWE. We had WCW and we had some local European stuff. And he's like, so I don't know any of these people that you're talking about, some of these older wrestlers and some of these.
And by the way, he recently reportedly, now this is, you know, internet rumor that he was recently married to Selena Vega, who's on SmackDown. She's the little bitty tiny wrestler who her father was killed in 9/11 in one of the World Trade Towers. She's an incredible story on top of everything else. But
absolutely. Sure.
Superstar John Cena is getting a very, very nice award. It's going to be Sports Illustrated Muhammad Ali Legacy Award, and he has granted nearly 600 wishes for children with life-threatening illnesses, more than anybody else in the entire program. And he really does deserve that. And I did find out also when I was reading this article that Cena's younger brother is a survivor of stage 4 brain cancer. And he survived because of early detection. So
Do you think he'll cut his hair for the occasion?
No, he says he's keeping the haircut. Looks like JBL. Titus O'Neil, my man Titus of Titus Worldwide. He was named to Ebony Magazine's top black entrepreneurs, and with black people and African Americans having the most power. Titus works so much with fatherhood involvement and other charities. So he is a great recipient of that award.
Well, thanks, Dave. Gosh, it's been entertaining. It's been fun. We had shared some laughs. We shared some tears. Did we share any tears?
No, I don't share my tears.
No.
I keep my tears to myself, baby.
You bottle that up.
I bottle it all up, and I'm going to explode one of these days. I'm going to explode on Vince McMahon. Oh, that's probably somebody's going to take that out of context. I'm going to be in.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
But my stomach has been churning watching Raw lately. That show has been really bad the last month or so.
Bad isn't the word for it. It's just, wasn't Raw something that we all looked forward to on Monday night when it was the battle between WCW and Raw, and we wanted to see what Stone Cold Steve Austin was going to do to Vince McMahon, or what's The Rock going to do. But now it's, Lord, are we going to have to sit through 5 minutes of pre-taped interviews, and then we're going to have someone come out looking like Bane? You are a billion-dollar company, and y'all cannot find any writers that can write better than this?
I don't know what's going on behind the scenes there, but obviously the injuries have hurt. Obviously having Roman Reigns get sick has hurt.
Yep. Yep.
But these guys are professionals. There's ways to get around it if you just think. And I don't think they're thinking things through right.
Well, the only thing that they're thinking is how big my bank account can get a little bit bigger. Monday Night Raw was so, so boring. It was like taking a sleeping pill. In fact, it was about as good as a sleeping pill. Something has got to shake up Raw. Why has it gotten so bad? Look what they're doing on SmackDown. They're killing Raw on SmackDown right now.
Yeah, they are.
I sit there and I bang my head against the wall trying to make sense of this, and even ibuprofen won't even take this headache away.
As a fan, if you had the chance, what would you do to make Raw better? Let me just go through just a few names. The constipated Baron Corbin.
Very simple. He would not be the Raw general manager. I put him back into the ring again. That's where he needs to go. What they're doing with him on Raw is boring. We've seen this before. The evil Monday Night Raw commissioner, manager, slash. He looks like a too tall Mr. Clean with that head of his.
Bray Wyatt.
Ooh, let's bring the old Bray Wyatt back, the psychopath that he used to be, where as soon as the lights went out, everyone turned on their iPhones or cell phones on their for their lights so they could have the fireflies going, and that music of his and that slow walk like the Undertaker. And now he's not broken or woken or beaten or weaten. Now he's back to where he needs to be, and it's time to reform the Wyatt family. But a new version.
Dean Ambrose, what would you, Christopher Evans, if you had control of Raw, what would you like to see happen with Dean?
I'd like to see Dean Ambrose as the Universal Champion. Although I would never have had him put on that gas mask Monday night and act like he was a Bane. I was looking for Batman or Robin to come down from the rafters and hit him with a baseball bat or something. I don't know.
Because we all like to walk with Elias. What would you do with Elias?
He needs a manager. With Elias, I was going to say I could see a title being on around his waist, and it needs to be the Intercontinental Championship. I think that he needs to.
How about Finn Balor? Finn Balor, the Balor Club.
Man. I don't know. They buried Finn Balor so bad right now, even a mortuary wouldn't be able to do anything with him. I don't know what else to do. I think it's time for Finn Balor to turn heel, bring back the Demon King. Don't be Finn Balor, just be the Demon King from now on. I think that's what he's missing.